Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
The Woj bomb that dropped on Thursday night. James Harden has opted into his $36.5 million player option, so instead of heading towards free agency, it is likely we have seen the last of Joel Embiid and James Harden on the floor together in Philadelphia. Good morning. Welcome to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. I'm Courtney Cronin. He's Joe Fortenbaugh. We're sitting in for the guys on this Friday morning, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. I don't know how things change so quickly here, because I remember yesterday morning on First Take, Brian Windhorst was on talking about how things felt a lot closer between Philadelphia Joe and James Harden, that something might get worked out to where there would be an extension instead of now the potential of a sign and trade. Quickly, how quickly things change in the NBA is just wild, but it's not surprising because this league loves to keep things interesting in free agency.
Absolutely fantastic news for the Philadelphia 76ers, because at least you'll come away with something in this scenario. Harden will opt in, you can move on from him via a trade, and you can bring some assets back in return. Because if you go back to when they acquired James Harden, they had to give up Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first-round draft picks, one protected, one unprotected. In exchange, they bring back James Harden and Paul Millsap. Now, Philadelphia won that trade, as of right now, because Simmons has been a net negative for the Nets. It's not only that he doesn't contribute on the court, he costs a lot of money. Meanwhile, Harden did lead the league in assists last season and had a spectacular game one against Boston. So you got something out of him. With him leaving, though, after giving up two first-round picks to acquire him, the ability to bring something back and not just lose him outright in free agency is huge for Philadelphia. Now, for those who are going to say, Courtney, well, what about the production you're going to lose? Yeah, regular season production, big numbers, that's what James Harden can do. But when you need him to be an absolute killer, game 6 against Boston, game 7 against Boston, he shot a combined 25% from the floor and committed 10 turnovers. He's never been that guy. He's never been that guy. Running it back with him isn't going to get you anywhere closer to what you're ultimately looking for, which is an NBA title.
9 points in that Game 7, that forgettable Game 7 against Boston in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Where Philadelphia goes from here, we're hearing the names Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving, potentially a fit in that backcourt. But the names that we're hearing for James Harden, potential trade destinations here, would be the Los Angeles Clippers and the New York Knicks. Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA insider, on how those two teams might find their way into the mix with James Harden and what opting in means for his future.
I think in a perfect world, James Harden would have declined that player option, gone into free agency, and then re-signed with the Sixers on a long-term deal. But he could not be confident that the years and the money would be there for him, especially because cap space was going to probably dry up around the league on him, especially in Houston, where he thought he would have leverage. And I think once Ime Udoka came in as head coach, they started looking at the roster, what they wanted to do in free agency. I think Fred VanVleet has moved to the top of the list in Houston. And so what James Harden didn't want to get stuck was July 1, July 3rd, July 5th. He's trying to hammer it out with Daryl Morey in Philly. Doesn't like the deal. They're arguing July 8th, July 10th, and you're just dragged into no man's land of negotiations. So by opting in, he gets to $35.5 million next year, and now he can get a trade, I think presumably to a contending team.
And what we know from all of that is, you know, with Ime Udoka, it doesn't seem like a fit down there in Houston. The defense that James Harden brings with, not exactly desirable. We had heard a lot of that buzz about maybe he does want to go back to Houston. Maybe it won't be Philadelphia. Now that buzz is kind of quieted. The reason, though, that Woj brought up that I thought was an interesting point, when he talks about the years, remember, Philly was the only team that would have been able to offer him that four-year, $213 million max extension. Here's the long and the short of it. No team thinks he's a max player, especially the one that he had played on for the last two seasons. So it's very likely here that he's going to be on his fourth team since 2021, which is just wild when you think about A disgruntled James Harden, when he finds he's not happy about something, he is not shy Joe in trying to force his way out and get somewhere else and opting in here. Because if you're going to opt out of your contract, you have to make sure that you have a market for yourself. You have to have a fail-safe somewhere. And I frankly don't know if he felt that. If he and his agent got together and said, this is your best path to getting to a marquee destination. Although, this is a short-term rental. They cannot, any team that gets him in a trade cannot extend him. So we will be dealing with this maybe 365 days from now when free agency opens again in 2024.
It's just Aaron Rodgers watch all over again. It's just the NBA version with James Harden. You make an interesting point. This is going to be his fourth team in 3 years. Is that the type of guy that's going to put you on the championship level? Right? Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum. Stars of that nature, Luka Doncic. What do they all have in common? They've been anchored with their teams for a while, trying to build, trying to improve, trying to tweak, trying to get over the hump. Harden was on the outs in Houston and decided to leave, during which time he couldn't get along with Dwight Howard, he couldn't get along with Chris Paul, he couldn't get along with Russell Westbrook. He goes to Brooklyn. That ends miserably in spectacular fashion. Can't make it work there. He goes to Philadelphia. He's there for almost 2 years. Good times, bad times. Now he's on his way out the door. Is that the guy you want to put a heavy investment in to get you over the top, given the decrease in production from a scoring standpoint? Courtney, the change in the NBA with the rules now, it doesn't suit James Harden at all. He used to get a large percentage of his points from the free throw line, stepping back, finding ways to draw fouls. That stuff doesn't necessarily exist anymore. They've cut back on all that three-point shooting nonsense with the jumping and the bumps and the arms and everything that happens. And now that he's not getting to the line as much, he's not as prolific a scorer. And now that he's not as prolific a scorer, he has become a better facilitator, but it's not worth the price of admission given the risk you take in terms of chemistry and the risk you take when you're talking about marquee moments, game six, game seven, and you need your stars to step up. He's shown us from the beginning it's tough for him to do that on a consistent basis, if at all, which is why Philadelphia is going to be just fine moving on. If they couldn't get past the second round with him, not getting past the second round without him won't be a challenge.
And that's why I think Houston initially came into the mix. You go to a place that is so far away from contending, the pressure's off of you. And we hadn't heard from James Harden, but when you're trying to get inside his beard, get inside his head, maybe you're thinking that he doesn't want to deal with that added pressure of, man, every time I've been in a game six and a game seven, I've come up short. He's not really at the point of his career, so you'd think, given the track record, where it felt like ring chasing was all that much of a priority for him, which is why I think Houston came up initially. Now it feels like that's a completely different conversation. If he is, opting into his $35.6 million player option, that is the best path for him getting to a marquee destination. Now, will that destination be in Los Angeles with the Clippers, a team that has struck out on literally every point guard available throughout this cycle the last couple weeks, whether it was Malcolm Brogdon and the trade that fell through, whether it was Bradley Beal, Chris Paul. Don't know what they're going to do with Russell Westbrook, so maybe James Harden finds a fit there. Or could it be the New York Knicks? Joe, neither of these teams make a ton of sense from an on-court fit, but the Clippers specifically, a team that has never been shy about spending money and whatever the bill costs, they're going to pay it. They've also been a team that has had the mentality of we're one player away from being really good. Could you see James Harden with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in 2023? Because that's a really strange on-court fit just by the look of it, but they did make a move the day before this happened in releasing Eric Gordon, who is now set to hit free agency himself.
Clippers make plenty of sense, given the way they've operated the last few years. The Knicks make no sense to me. Absolutely none whatsoever. I in what world do James Harden and Tom Thibodeau get together and agree with one another and work together in harmony to complete the mission that they're trying to complete in New York? Thibodeau wants guys, blue-collar guys, guys diving for loose balls,
guys
that are going to
be
there. Yeah, guys who play defense. I mean, Harden, it doesn't seem like he's going to want to be coached that way. If he didn't like the way he was coached by Doc Rivers, he's going to like the way he's coached by Tom Thibodeau. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense for me when it comes to the future of the New York Knicks. For the Clippers, it's fine. They've been just stumbling along the last few years with two mega talents in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who just can't get on the court from an injury perspective. And are we sure Kawhi Leonard is going to be healthy this year coming back? And if so, how many games is he going to give you? There were already the rumors that they wanted to move on from Paul George. So I wonder if somehow he would be involved in a trade with Philadelphia if they could make the finances work there. But the bottom line with Harden for me is that there are three types of teams in the NBA. You're competing for championships, you're competing for a playoff berth, or you're rebuilding. And I think the teams that are truly competing for championships, Harden's not the guy that's going to put you over the top. He's going to cost you a lot of money, and he's not going to be there in the marquee spots where you need him. Again, game one against Boston, he was phenomenal, but you need consistency. You can't have a floor that bottoms out the way James Harden's floor bottoms out. If you look at Denver, what's the floor for Nikola Jokic? Like, even a bad night at the office is probably 22 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists in 40-some minutes, shooting 60% from the floor. That's his floor. What's the floor for James Harden? I mean, it's atrocious. And that's the type of thing that gets you knocked out of the playoffs when you have a 3-2 series lead against a team like the Celtics, who wasn't as strong this year as they were in the past.
He's not the same player he once was when he was winning the MVP, when he was shooting at a clip that made you think that he is one of the best scorers in the game. That version of James Harden is gone, and we're probably not getting that back when he's going to be 34 years old this season. What we do know is that he led the league in assists last year for the second time in his career, and that is something that Philly's going to have to replace when this sign and trade inevitably goes through. Although we did talk to Bobby Marks last night on ESPN Radio, and he brought up that Philly could say through all of this, they want to end up retaining him. I mean, this could be the Kevin Durant situation that we had last offseason all over again, though it does feel that with James Harden opting into his $35.6 million player option, that there was no agreement on the long-term extension. Probably a holdup there in the years and what James Harden is looking for versus what Philly is willing to pay. Free agency opening up tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to keep you updated on the latest movement and the names we are tracking, those we are expecting to be on the move right here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Free agency starts tonight in the NBA. Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh will keep you covered on everything that's happening, all the names that we expect to be on the move. But after the news we got yesterday with James Harden expecting to be on the move in the not-too-distant future after opting into his player option, it brings up the idea that there may be two, including one of his former teammates, guards on their way to the Philadelphia 76ers. Could that be Kyrie Irving? Could it be Damian Lillard? Let's take a listen to Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider who was on PTI, who floated the idea that one of these two could be the replacement for James Harden in Philly.
It now appears like Philadelphia may be in need of a point guard, and there may be an option there for Kyrie Irving to continue to test that situation. So I would not be surprised if we see Kyrie want to investigate what's going on in Philadelphia. If Harden moves out, if there's a window for him to come in. The other name here is Dame Lillard. Is it possible that Philadelphia, if James Harden moves out, could acquire assets from Los Angeles, put their assets together, and prepare an offer for Dame Lillard? That is an option. Kyrie Irving potentially would be an option, or they could go with Tyrese Maxey, take whatever assets they might get in a James Harden trade, and send those assets somewhere else for somebody else.
Nope. Don't like that one at all, especially the Kyrie Irving to Philadelphia idea that he floated out there. But the last part of what Wendy said, that's where I want to start. Why would Philadelphia after the last two postseasons and seeing how good Tyrese Maxey has developed over the last 2 years, taking James Harden out of the equation, why would you not at least kick the tires and see, hey, maybe this guy who had the fifth most three-pointers in the NBA last year and drastically had improved from the 2021 season to where he was at last year, why would you not give him a chance with Harden out of the picture, dominant on-ball player, to free up what Tyrese Maxey can do, to at least see where his ceiling might be as your point guard?
Job protection, or job security would probably be a better way to phrase that. We can sit here all day and we can talk about one-year plans, three-year plans, five-year plans, 10-year plans for every team in the NBA. Best approach, best way to build. Look at Denver, look at Golden State, look at Milwaukee, your last three champions. Draft a star, build around the star, tweak, and eventually you break through. We can talk about that all day. That's not how it works for front office executives, coaches, and other people that routinely find themselves on the hot seat in the NBA. Like Daryl Morey, it's not really working out in Philadelphia. It didn't work out in Houston. You had a great run. Unfortunately, you ran into the buzzsaw that was the Dynasty Warriors, and no one was getting by them. So now you move over to Philadelphia and you're trying to make it work. The thing is, you haven't done anything that that city hasn't seen before. Six straight years in the postseason, five of which have been second round flameouts, one of which was a first round sweep at the hands of the Boston Celtics in the bubble. So if you're Daryl Morey and you're the 76ers, you might not be thinking what you have long term with Tyrese Maxey. You might see a young asset that on the move could bring you a Damian Lillard or someone else, and you figure that might be a better approach than what we're currently doing. I don't know why. If there's a way in which you can keep Embiid and Maxey and you can get Lillard to town, it would cost a lot. That's the killer that team needs, Courtney. That's the guy who puts them over the top.
I've been trying to do the math in my head of what it would cost to get Damian Lillard. We know it would be a lot more than the Bradley Beal acquisition by the Phoenix Suns because Damian Lillard doesn't have the no trade clause. So if you trade James Harden, then the assets you end up getting for James Harden, you're probably packaging and taking Tyrese Maxey in the mix and then moving that to Portland for Damian Lillard. But that's probably what it's going to cost. So I like the idea of Damian Lillard in that backcourt. I certainly do. And if there was one way, somehow, some way, that they could keep both Damian Lillard and Tyrese Maxey together, I think that that becomes a team that doesn't have to deal with the potential of a gap year and doesn't have to deal with, hey, we're taking a step back in the Eastern Conference, because they can't do that with Joel Embiid coming off an MVP year and wanting to, you know, remain on this trajectory, stay healthy, come off the production he put up in his best season. You can't afford to tell a big man at this point of his career, hey, we might have to take a step back to take a step forward in 2024, because there's a chance that he's going to say, to hell with that. I don't want to be around in 2024 on this team if that's the case. But Damian Lillard, the news around him has been relatively quiet as we enter this free agency period. And if there's any team that's not a Miami or not even a Brooklyn, I know those are his two preferred destinations, Joe, but Philly entering the chat here on Damian Lillard is a move that I'd like way more than the big giant question mark that Kyrie Irving is and has become. And frankly, I don't know how I'd see that one work, swapping one teammate for another, one of James Harden's teammates, to have him come back to the Philadelphia 76ers. I can't get, of all the math out there, that's very difficult. That's the one that I can't seem to get to compute.
The Irving case study is such a fascinating one because there's a viewpoint of him amongst NBA players, and then there's a viewpoint of him amongst everybody else. Feels like the media and the fans look at Irving and they say, the guy's a problem. He's going to blow up your roster. He's going to prevent you from getting where you want to get to. And every NBA player you talk to, you listen to, that's ever been around him, they love this guy. Like, despite everything we saw at the end in Cleveland, in Boston, with Brooklyn, there are players, elite players like Kevin Durant at every turn who defend the guy. They talk about what a great guy he is, what a great teammate he is. It's fascinating to see because you want to take that into account because those are the guys that truly know him and are around him. But what we see is a guy who a lot of times when you need him, he's got something else going on or he's got something he deems more important. I mean, no one's ever doubted the skill. No one's ever doubted the talent. No one's ever doubted what he's done for the game. What people doubt is where his head's at times, his availability. If we're talking about winning championships, that's very different than winning 45 games and trying to get into the postseason. So if you're a Sixer fan like I am, It's all about Lillard. Go through this MVP list now that Joel Embiid has joined it. These are generational talents. Embiid, Jokic, Giannis, Harden, and Westbrook are in there. They've put up monster seasons. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Derrick Rose, Kobe Bryant, Dirk Nowitzki, Steve Nash, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan. You go back, Iverson, Shaq, all these guys. You have someone like this, you can go deep in the postseason. Every one of those guys I've mentioned has been to the conference finals. Joel Embiid is not. I mean, you have this guy in Embiid where maybe he's one of the best in the game, but he needs that killer alongside him who can put him over the top, because that's what Philly has been lacking. The ability to close out high-level series in the postseason, the ability to drive the stake through the opposition. They could have done it in Game 6 against Boston. They scored 3 points over the final 4 minutes and 30 seconds, and Embiid puts his hands up after the game and says, well, they just weren't getting me the ball. You're supposed to be the alpha. Demand the ball. It's not supposed to be something where they have to figure out how to get it to you. You're out there trying to take over the game. Look at what Jokic did in the playoffs. He did it every time they needed him to do it. So if Lillard could come in with that killer instinct and Dame time, that would be the type of thing that Philly could look at putting them over the hump.
It has been quiet in terms of what Portland has done the last couple of days and really last week with the draft. It seems like it's a little bit of a challenge for them to fulfill this promise that Joe Crone and their GM has put out there, that they are trying to build a contender around Damian Lillard. We'll see if free agency ends up helping them fulfill that promise, but they don't want to wait too long to make that happen before they could potentially capitalize on moving Damian Lillard for more assets to begin a true rebuild. And the Kyrie thing, again, like, the Mavs want to re-sign him. We know that, because they can't have two off seasons where they go lose Jalen Brunson and then lose Kyrie Irving after trading what they traded for him at the deadline to get him down to Dallas. In about 17 games, the production, the individual production between himself and Luka Doncic, it was there. But the pieces that are missing around both of those players, very notable. So maybe they add more there. Maybe they keep Kyrie in Dallas. But seems like he's got his eye set on a couple different destinations, reportedly taking a visit with the Phoenix Suns, one that's going to happen out in Los Angeles. We'll see how that plays into him potentially being on the move, whether it's there or whether it's to Philly. Straight ahead, the NFL continues to suspend players for gambling, but is it as big of an issue as we believe?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
The NFL suspended four more players on Thursday for gambling. Isaiah Rodgers of the Indianapolis Colts, we had known about his name, but a couple new ones surfacing. Rashad Berry of the Indianapolis Colts, free agent Demetrius Taylor, also suspended indefinitely. In addition, Tennessee Titans offensive tackle Nicholas Petit-Ferre was suspended 6 games for betting on other sports inside the workplace. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh, sitting in for the guys here on this Friday morning, is always presented by Progressive Insurance, and it's perfect that we have Joe here. He's out in Las Vegas. He handles all of our sports wagering coverage for ESPN, and I've been waiting to ask you everything that's in my mind about this situation when the news came out from Adam Schefter earlier in the week that these suspensions were looming, they would be handed down. And what we see now are the four players that were suspended in addition to the list that we had already received, which included Quintez Cephas, CJ Moore, several other Lions players. And I heard Mad Dog there in my ear when he's talking about the hypocrisy level here from the NFL when you have sports books and so many different, you know, sports wagering promotions that are involved now with the NFL, for the NFL to turn around and look at its players that, you know, obviously if you're going to bet on the NFL, that is dumb. That is, you've made your bed with that, Joe. But for other players to receive these season-long suspensions, several of whom, you know, were betting on other sports that just so happened to be inside their facility, it just feels like this NFL gambling policy is made to be the downfall of NFL players. Because remember, inside buildings, players are the only ones who are allowed to place bets. Coaches cannot do it. NFL personnel cannot do it. But you see a handful of players there on the screen that are now affected by this, and many of whom, these day three undrafted free agents, who may never play in the NFL again by the time their suspension is up.
It feels hypocritical, and I understand where Mad Dog's coming from, and there's a case to be made that how can you get into bed with these companies and make all this money through advertising and then treat the players differently? What does it matter? What does it matter? There's hypocrisy everywhere. Everywhere. Politicians, leaders, companies, businesses, it's everywhere. It's not a fair world. Whether you want it to be fair or not, it's not. The reality of this is that it's very clear. A, you cannot bet on NFL football. B, you can't bet on anything on the premises of your NFL team, right? You can't do it on the grounds. So don't do it. That's it. Don't do it. Like, right now, it would be nice to have a mimosa in your hand, would it not? I'm not going to speak for you. It'd be great to have a mimosa right now.
Well, early.
I can't do that. It's not part of this job. It is not allowed. Therefore, I do not drink a mimosa. There are other people out there that can do that right now. Is that hypocrisy? No, it's just the rules. It's the rules. And what the NFL has told you is, above all else, the integrity of the game matters. So if you're going to bet on NFL games, you're going to get hit with a pretty big suspension. You're going to get hit with a pretty big fine. And then on top of that, if you are at the facility and you are gambling on anything else, you're going to get drilled as well. Like, whether or not it's fair doesn't matter. Those are the rules. So avoid the rules if you want to keep the job. And if you don't value the job that highly, then continue to make bets on games in the locker room or wherever else you are in the facility. I mean, they made it clear. If you leave the facility, you can go ahead and fire away on non-NFL type sports. But for some reason, that message is not getting across. And Courtney, I find it hard to believe that teams aren't educating the players on this. You've been in locker rooms. You've been at the facility. You've seen, those signs are everywhere, are they not?
That's the thing. I don't know if they actually are. You know, in the locker room when guys are getting ready to go out onto the field and they have the uniform check, you can wear this, but you can't wear this. Your socks need to be up to here or you're going to get fined. I would like to see the next time I walk into Soldier Field to cover a Chicago Bears home game or even in a visitor's locker room, I'd like to see more information around the room that has to do with gambling. There's six rules that the NFL is trying to enforce here, and it's come through an added emphasis on education, NFL PA reps, talking to teams throughout OTAs and minicamp. The six rules. The number one, do not bet on the NFL. That's a no-brainer. If you do that, you're making your own bet. But number two through six are some that, in players that I've spoken with, they weren't entirely up to speed on. Number two, don't gamble at your team's facility while traveling for a road game or staying at a team hotel. Don't have someone bet for you. Do not share information, inside information. Don't enter a sports book during the NFL playing season. Don't play daily fantasy football. Number five is one that Chicago Bears tight end Cole Kmet, we were talking during OTAs just about how is the team handling with the suspensions that came down for the Detroit players and the Washington player before the four extra suspensions came down, bringing it to a total of nine players who have been suspended for the 2023 season due to gambling. And what Kmet said was they had a player rep come in and do a presentation and throw out the idea, hey, Do you guys know the answer to this? Like, if you're playing a road game in Vegas, can you go to a casino the night before, Not that most people would. You'd be preparing for a game, but just the idea of it. And the answer is no, according to number 5 on this list. That's not a rule I'm sure a lot of NFL players were up to speed on. And it's kind of convoluted, Joe. Like, don't enter a sports book during the NFL playing season. Does that mean that I would get in trouble just stepping into a sports book? Do I have to place a bet? There's still so much gray area here that I'm not entirely sure players are not going to slip up continuously until there is more education on it, and it is just kind of always in your periphery and something that they're emphasizing on a regular basis. Because you can go through all of these meetings, you can have all the rules that you want, until it's enforced and then reinforced and reinforced and reinforced, players are going to continue to either A, think they can get away with it by going around and, of course, doing it away from the team facility, safer than doing it in there. But when you're traveling on a plane, going to a road game, when you're in the team hotel, I mean, that is how Jameson Williams, he was at the team facility. But think about how many guys are laying in their bed the night before a game, might be scrolling through, you know, trying to put a parlay in, not necessarily on the NFL, but college football, late on a Saturday night. You can't do that anymore during the NFL season. It honestly feels like they should have a ban on all gambling from July until the end of your season to prevent any more suspensions like this, because in season, there's a lot of ways to slip up with this, and the cynic in me feels like this is only the tip of the iceberg still, even after these 9 suspensions.
All right, so there's a couple good points there with some of the rules. Number 1, the idea of being in a hotel when you're on the road, right? I can understand that. Now, let's go back a few years when sports betting was legal in the state of New Jersey, but not in the state of New York. Do you know what people living in Manhattan would do when they'd want to make their NFL bets?
They'd
go to the path. Yeah, they'd go to the path, and they'd cross over into Hoboken, and they'd get geo-tracked in New Jersey. They'd make all their bets, and then they'd come back over to New York City. If you're in a team hotel, and that's considered to be a place where you can't make a bet, walk outside, cross the street, do it over there. Inconvenient? Of course. But does it get around the rule that you're so desperate to get around, apparently? Yeah, it does. The sportsbook situation, that could be a little bit troublesome. Because living here in Las Vegas, there are certain parking garages that when you're making your way into a casino, you're right next to the sportsbook. I live by one right here in Henderson at Green Valley Ranch. You can come right in, and if you make a left turn, you're right there in the book. Now, the fact that you have physically stepped foot in that book, are you now in violation of the rule? Or can we go back and look at the cameras and realize you made a wrong turn, and when you realize where you were, you quickly left? Ultimately, they probably don't want players hanging out in sports books. If you misstep, I'd imagine there might be room for an appeal, but ultimately, don't go in the sports books. Is it fair? Probably not, but these are the rules. Ultimately, there they are. When in doubt, just err on the side of not coming near gambling, since the NFL is trying to keep you so far away from it as a player because of the integrity of the game element.
The NFL is trying to course correct here. I think that's more than obvious by how quickly they came down with these suspensions and the added education. So we have heard about from coaches and players throughout the spring. Is it going to be enough to alleviate this from happening? Probably not. You just laid out. Guys are going to try to find a way around it, and that means stepping outside of the hotel just so you're literally not on what at that point is deemed team property during a road game. I don't know if there is a way to control gambling other than what they're already trying to do, but there will always be those who think that they can get around the rules. The NFL, though, with these rules, especially the 6 that we read, there's going to be some massaging that needs to take place. I guarantee by the next time the CBA is ratified, it was done in 2020, so we're 3 years into this, that gambling policy is going to look a lot different. You cannot avoid where we are right now in the world where gambling, sports wagering is a part of sports. It's almost as much a part of it as the on-field product. And when the fans are doing it, and when the NFL is capitalizing on this billion-dollar enterprise, certainly does look hypocritical in the end of this when you see all of these 1-year suspensions that have come down. And really for those outside of you bet on your sport because that is your own fault. That is the number one rule. Everyone has known that. But for everything else, there's a lot of gray area there that the NFL is going to have to continue to work through. Coming up next here on Keyshawn, J, Will, and Max, we start off the day with our ESPN Radio's Rank 'Em series in the NFL, our top 5 off-season editions. That's coming up next. Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh, sitting in for the guys on this Friday morning.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
G-Shawn, J-Will, and Max, the podcast. From the top five NFL quarterbacks.
So badly want to bring Super Bowl here to Buffalo.
Herbert rolling right, throws, touchdown!
To the top five NFL fan bases. We're ranking the top of everything in the NFL. This is ESPN Radio's Rank 'em, the top five offseason editions.
We love a list here on ESPN Radio. We've ranked receivers, we've ranked running backs, top five fan bases. Yesterday, top five rookies. Today, you've got the top five off-season additions here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh, filling in for the guys. We'll whip through these. We've got some great NFL music in the background. We are now 70 days away from kickoff, opening game on Thursday Night Football between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions. I don't know if we'll have any of their offseason acquisitions in our list, but Joe, I'm going to let you kick things off here with number five on your list.
Dalvin number five. Tomlinson. That's what happens when it's 3 a.m. in Las Vegas. That's on me, fellas. That one's on me. Dalvin Tomlinson, defensive tackle, Cleveland Browns. 4 years, $57 million. Extremely durable. He's played in 93 of a possible 98 regular season games since he joined the league. He's one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL, and that's going to be a huge help for Cleveland that needs to free up Myles Garrett on the outside. Cleveland was 19th in scoring defense last year. They did struggle to defend the run, but they can run the ball with Nick Chubb, and they're going to be better on offense with Deshaun Watson knocking the rust off last year when he came back from his suspension. Don't sleep on this Cleveland team. If they shore up the defense, they're going to be a formidable out. Dalvin Tomlinson is number five for me.
All right, my number five is Derek Carr joining the New Orleans Saints. We know about how his time ended with the Las Vegas Raiders, effectively benched towards the final three or four games, and he makes his way to the Big Easy, a team that was 7-10 last year. They need to be rejuvenated at the quarterback position because their offense has been, frankly, underwhelming, Joe, and we saw what Derek Carr was able to do in nearly a decade with the Oakland Raiders and the Las Vegas Raiders. He's capable of getting this team to the postseason. Now, are they capable of winning in the postseason? They've come up short with him at quarterback. I think a change of scenery, though, was absolutely needed. It wasn't working out for him in Las Vegas with Josh McDaniels within that offense. And this now a chance for him to reunite with Dennis Allen, somebody who was on the coaching staff with Derek Carr in the very early part of his career when this team was still in Oakland. I think it's good for all parties involved, and this is a division you can take advantage of. They were 7-10 last year. You've got a rookie quarterback in Carolina. You've got Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay, and then in Atlanta, a giant unknown with Desmond Ridder as their QB. So Derek Carr, the most experienced quarterback in the division, and a breath of fresh air for this Saints team that's had Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston kind of a hodgepodge there the last couple years.
Number four.
Jalen Ramsey, cornerback, Miami Dolphins. This was via trade, not free agency. 28 years old. Don't forget about him just because the Rams stunk last year. He's been the sixth straight Pro Bowls, and now you're going to put him alongside Xavien Howard in Miami, giving you arguably the most formidable 1-2 punch at the cornerback position outside of Philadelphia with Darius Slay and James Bradbury. And we know how that worked out for the Eagles last year. Miami was 24th in scoring defense, 14th in opponent yards per play. If Tua's healthy, that offense is going to be nasty. Mike McDaniel's a solid head coach, and he's a great play caller, but they have to improve the defense. Bringing in Vic Fangio to run it is one thing. Bringing in Ramsey to play corner is another. Jalen Ramsey, cornerback, Miami Dolphins, acquisition number 4.
The defensive tackle market was very lucrative in free agency. Javon Hargrave cashed in on that in a very big way when he left Philly to go to the San Francisco 49ers. 18.5 sacks from him the last two seasons. Imagine that on a defensive line that has Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead. That's almost unfair to think about that much talent up front for the 49ers, but he is going to impact that three technique position in a very big way.
Number 3.
Aaron Rodgers. The New York Jets haven't been to the playoffs since 2010. They have 7 total playoff wins since 1986. 7. He's going to put them over the top. Garrett Wilson was the offensive rookie of the year. You bring in Alan Lazard and Mecole Hardman at wide receiver. Hopefully, Breece Hall is coming back healthy. The defense can play. The offensive line has some issues, but Rodgers and his ability to get the ball out of his hands in a hurry is going to help them. A lot of people might say, how is this not acquisition number 1? How do you not rank it number 2? I don't see the Jets eventually winning a Super Bowl with him. He might only be there 1 year, and eventually you know the drama that comes with Aaron Rodgers. That's why it's number 3. Still a great move because it makes the Jets better this year than obviously they were last year.
All right, so I'm close to this one, but I promise it's no home cooking because DJ Moore getting traded in the package with the number one for the number one overall pick from Carolina to Chicago gives Justin Fields the number one receiver that he's been without the last 2 years. If you want your quarterback to succeed, you've got to put talent around him. You've got to give him every weapon to make that possible. Look at what the Miami Dolphins did last year for Tua. They invested in and around him with the offensive line, which the Bears did, and by getting him a number one in Tyreek Hill. This is a move that you expect, okay, after this season, we will know definitively one way or the other if we have a franchise quarterback. So that's my number 3.
Number 2.
Agree on Javon Hargrave to San Francisco. The Niners are predicated on running the football and playing great defense. They want to control the clock on offense and run you into the ground. Javon Kinlaw, the first-round pick out of South Carolina, looks like a swing and a miss. This addresses that problem and makes them better along the front.
All right, you already said Aaron Rodgers was yours earlier. Aaron Rodgers is my number 2. We're up against it, so let's hit the last one.
Number 1.
Vic Fangio, defensive coordinator, Miami Dolphins. As we mentioned earlier, Miami can play offense, and if Tua stays healthy, they're going to score a lot of points. Fangio coming in to oversee the defense is going to take them to the next level. Do not sleep on the Dolphins in the AFC East this year.
Sean Payton was traded to the Denver Broncos. They gave up a lot to get him, so he's tasked with fixing Russell Wilson in 2023. That's our top 5 list. We'll get back into that later on here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. But coming up next, the Lakers planning their future post-LeBron.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.